See you all here this evening. Let's just, before I start, let's just take a moment and commit this meeting to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you that we have the opportunity to come into your presence and to ask you for help and guidance in everything that we do. And Father, we need your help and we trust you for that. We ask that you'd be honored and glorified this evening and that we might be encouraged as we leave this evening from here. So we just pray these things in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. I'm going to ask that you open your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll actually start in Hebrews chapter 11, just to read a few verses from there. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 1, verse 6, and a few other verses as well. Starting at verse 1 from Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then if you could skip to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then skip to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And now please turn to chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So this evening I'd like to look at these verses here in Hebrews chapter 12, and I'd picked out a few words that stood out to me here as the writer to Hebrews, he was encouraging them to run in a race. And when we run in a race, we can't have extra weight. So I brought something along. I wanted to give an example. Let's see if I can find it. So when we start off, I had read chapter 11 from there because we have the example of those people in chapter 11. And with their example, we can have courage to trust the Lord because they trusted the Lord to run the race and to follow him. And because of their example, we can see that God is faithful, that God met their needs. And they set aside the things of this world and this life, and they chose to follow him 100%. And they did make mistakes. We know their lives from the Old Testament. But yet they let God control and rule their lives. And we see the outcome of their lives, that God did take care of them, that he blessed them. And that I think, for me at least, gives me confidence that as we come to chapter 12 and it starts talking to us, that we can have that same confidence, that we can trust God, we can set aside the things of this life and seek Him. So, the idea here, when we're talking about this, in chapter 12, verse 1, it says we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So, I picked out the words lay aside. And the idea of lay aside is to put away, to cast off. We need to leave it behind. We aren't taking it with us. It's something that's extra, and we leave it, just leave it behind. And there are two things in this verse that tells us to lay aside. First of all, it's weight, and then it's the sin which doth so easily beset us. And we think of the word weight, that is, it's good if you are trying to anchor a ship or something and you need a heavy anchor to hold the ship. But in this application, we don't want weight. If we're running a race, the extra weight is going to slow us down. It's going to hold us back. So a weight would be anything that slows us down, that hinders us from running freely. And it might not be wrong in itself, but it's unnecessary for the race. So a few years ago, I was in a program called Alert, and we had some training, and as part of our training, we had to do some long hikes. So we had to take this knapsack here, and it was probably about 40 pounds of weight that we were carrying. We had to go on a hike. And one of our hikes was actually went through all day and all night. It was called the endurance hike. It lasts about 24 hours. And before that hike, we had to prepare. And we wanted to get rid of the weights that we had that we didn't need. We only wanted to be carrying what we needed. So I needed to have a flashlight in my backpack, but I really didn't need to have one like this. That's a lot of weight. And I needed good boots to hike and to carry a pack, but I didn't need steel-toe, heavy-duty work boots, right? And I think sometimes we look in our lives and we think these are good things, and they're not wrong, but they're actually weighing us down. They're slowing us down. And when I started in Alert, we had to camp outside a lot, so I actually had a sleeping mat here. It kept me warm from the ground because the ground's cold. I also gave a cushion. But that's an extra weight. It might not seem like a lot, but you start hiking over 50 miles up and down the mountain, and you wish you hadn't brought it along. So we set that aside. We had to carry a tent. But this here is a four-person tent. That's a pretty heavy tent to be carrying along. And when you only need a little one-man tent, that can do the job. And we've got stuff like cooking utensils. Now, this here is even a big pot. But we could have got big, huge cooking pots that my mom has or my wife has. Or I could have even one smaller than that. And then we need a sleeping bag. But you don't really need a big, huge sleeping bag. A little tiny one will do. And there's a lot of other things I could show you. First time I went out, I took my big, huge Bible with me. I thought that was great. But you can get a little Bible like this that'll do the same job, and it weighs way less, right? And so weights aren't necessarily something that's wrong or bad in themselves, but they're something that are really going to hinder us, and they're going to make us tired. They're going to slow us down, and they're going to take us away from our goal. And the things that are weights in your life might not be the same weights that are in my life. But I challenge you to let the Lord work on you and show you what is weight in your life. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And if we're building up treasure here on this earth, then that's going to be a weight. It's going to distract us from eternity. And we need to be focused on that which is eternal, because those things are going to matter when the race is over. But there's another thing that we're told to lay aside, and that's the sin which does so easily hinder us. So extra weight, it's going to slow us down. It's going to hold us back from reaching our goal, and it will cause us to be distracted. But sin, it's worse than that. It can completely ruin our testimony and our effectiveness, and it will for sure be putting distance between us and the Lord. If we have sin in our life, that's going to make it very difficult to run in a race. It's going to actually make us perhaps not even really feel like or even want to run the race because we have that sin in our life. And Satan's going to come along during our Christian walk, and he's going to put all kinds of lures and things that look good in front of our path. But we can't let those distract us. We've got to be like Moses in chapter 11, who let go of the pleasures of sin that only lasted for a season, and he chose instead to follow the Lord. And God used him because of that. So we realize that sin does come with its pleasures, but that they only last for a season. And really, we're going to find out that sin, if we follow it, and Satan's temptation is not going to make us any happier, and it's not going to get us there any sooner in our race. It's going to slow us down and redirect us. And we're going to regret it if we do follow it. And we're going to find in the end that we always pay dearly for chasing what is cheap. But you notice how we're supposed to run this race. I'm going to say something more about sin and weight here. The writer here doesn't give us specific examples of sin and weight. He doesn't say this specific sin or this specific weight. And for me, I thought, you know, at different points in my life, I've had different weights, things that weighed me down. And I think each one of us will have different weights and different sins that are temptations to us. And we need to be encouraging one another, because what is a temptation to me might not be to you and the other way around. And so we can provide strength for each other in that, to encourage one another that, hey, you know, you're carrying some extra weight and maybe you should set that aside, but also be letting them tell you that maybe I as well am carrying things that I shouldn't be. And then I wanted to talk about how we run this race. So we're to run with patience. And the idea of patience here, it's cheerful and hopeful endurance. So we're to run with endurance. And I know that each of us find it in our Christian run, in our Christian walk. We find some days the days do seem to be long. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes there's those mountains to climb and to go across the streams of life. And so we need to go with endurance. But notice that it's not just endurance in and of ourselves. If we go to verse 2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And so we have to have a focus as we are going on this race. We need to be setting our eyes ahead. We need to be looking. And the word looking is to consider attentively. And I was thinking, from what I understand of flying, I've never taken flying lessons or anything, but when they're teaching a pilot to fly and to land his plane, They tell him that he needs to look at the center of the runway where he wants to land his plane. If there's trees and stuff, it'd be awfully tempting to look at them and try to avoid them. But as you look at the distractions on the outside of the runway, it'll end up steering you in that direction and your plane will end up crashing instead of landing on the runway. And I think for this, the same can apply a lot of ways in our lives. If we're just looking around for Satan's traps and for the things of this world and trying to avoid them, we're not going to avoid the mess. We're going to actually end up in the mess because we're focused on the wrong things. And we need to set our focus ahead. We need to be looking to Jesus. And the world here, their idea is that we're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time, right? They're looking around at the pleasures that are here today and gone tomorrow. They're enjoying that. But we know that the best is yet to be. And we're looking forward to eternity. We're looking ahead to what lasts for eternity. And we've got to be making that our aim. And a right focus will give us joy even in the trials that we face now, because it's not about the trial today, it's about the finish. But we're not just looking ahead, we're looking unto Jesus. And it's all because of him. That's why we're in the race. It's because he started it. And that's why we're here today. And he gave us, the writer to Hebrews here gave us an example how Jesus endured the cross. And we see that in his life, how eternity and the future was much more important to him. And we need to be trusting the Lord and walking in that and running in that, enduring in his strength and looking ahead to him. And really what hit me is it's easy to say that we're looking to Jesus, easy to say that we're in love with him. And we can say that we love him because of the things that we do and because of the things that we say. But are we really in love with him? As I was thinking about that, I thought of different times where Joy has said to me something, asked me if I love her. And I'll say, yeah, I love you. And she'll say, well, do you really love me? And I say, yeah, well, I did all the supper dishes for you or something, right? But what she wants really is me to spend time with her and to talk to her, right? And in our Christian walk, it's not enough to say we love the Lord Jesus and to just say, well, I come to church and I do all these things for the Lord. It needs to be that we spend time with him and that we are with him. And that's part of the looking, is spending time with him and looking ahead to him for the strength. And that was really a challenge for my own heart, because I really want to communicate that to you tonight, that the love for the Lord Jesus needs to be foremost in our hearts and lives. And he needs to be the reason that we live, the reason that we're here. Because if we're not in love with him, it's going to be very easy to fall in love with the things of this world, the weights and the distractions that are around. But when we're loving him and in love with him, then that's going to give us a whole different perspective on the things of this world. They're not going to appeal to us the same. And so I really want to encourage you that you spend time with the Lord. I know it's so easy to let that distract. And perhaps the biggest weight in our lives is not spending time with the Lord Jesus. And that's what's taking us away, being distracted with other things and letting that weigh us down and hindering our race. And I really wonder, how would our lives be different? How would your life be different? How would my life be different if we were really in love with the Lord Jesus? And yet, I don't want to discourage you. Sometimes we realize what we aren't, what we'd like to be. But it's not about that, because the Lord loves us and He cares about us and He knows that we are human. But we need to be asking Him for a desire to love Him. And then let's go back to the word race. So we're running in a race. And a race is completed one step at a time. We start off, and we know there's going to be struggles ahead. We know there's going to be strains on the muscles. It's going to not be easy. We know we're competing. But for us, we know that the outcome is for sure, because Jesus is the finisher of our race. He's the one who has begun it, but He also has finished it. And we can know that there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we're thinking about running that race, again, not to let things slow us down, not to let things hinder or distract us, because it's a race. We need to have straightforward focus. And so, really what I would want you to take home tonight and into this week, and to, if I could leave with you, is that you might consider that what's hindering you in your relationship with the Lord Jesus, what is weighing you down, what kind of sins are easily tempting you and drawing you away from the Lord Jesus. And ask the Lord to show you those things. Ask Him to give you the strength to get rid of those things and to move on and grow in your relationship with Him. Don't be content just to stay at where you are in your Christian life. It's easy to coast along and ride along. But we need to be running the race with a cheerful endurance toward the finish line and let God do the work in our lives. And that way we can say with Paul, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not to me only, but to all them also who love is appearing. And as we run the race, looking unto Jesus, we'll be longing for His appearing. We'll be looking forward to Him. And I want to challenge you with that. And I really didn't know how long my message was going to take, because it's one thing when you're at home preparing, but it's another thing when you're standing in front of everybody. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then there's a song that I'd like to sing. It's from a tape from Chet Plimpton, so I don't think there's actually any music for it. I think he probably wrote the song himself. But hopefully, most of you will know the tune anyway. And I'll get Garrett to put that up on our overhead after we close. So let's just close our head, bow our heads in closing prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You that You have given us the opportunity to trust in You and to not run in our own strength, but to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we pray that as we go into this week, Father, that we'd be trusting in You, we'd be looking to You, that we'd set aside the distractions of this life so that we may be wholly devoted to You. And Father, that You would be our all in all, the desire of our life, and that we would go and be excited to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is. And so, Father, we just close now in Your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.